Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, April the 30th, 121st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the guy who makes all the water flow downhill himself, Dave Hull.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. Carol's the one who has the pumps.
Yes.
Makes water run uphill.
She
all
makes
by
it
herself.
Run uphill. Yes. We make it run downhill.
She's far more impressive than
yeah.
you.
Oh!
This afternoon, we spent a little bit of time. The state continues to pile on the laws, regulations, guidelines, and memorandums around drought. So even though we kind of got a little taste last month, there's even more at the table to taste this month. And we'll give you a mouthful when we come back.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. But another reminder, starting Monday, we're at 8:15 in the morning.
Moving up.
Early. I wanted to use the old Jefferson theme song.
You know, moving on up.
Yeah.
To the east side.
Yeah. But since there's been fires and riots in the east side, I'm not really pleased. Yeah, we're just going earlier, going back to our roots. Oh. Our quote this afternoon.
You have something from George Jefferson?
No, Wheezy didn't make it either. What can I tell you? Okay. Our quote this afternoon. Emily Buchwald, I don't know if it was Art's wife or not, but in 1994 in a speech said, quote, children are made readers on the laps of their parents.
Isn't that and cool? Grandparents, I might say.
Oh, okay, Grandpa Dave. I knew it, but I didn't know it. Dan the Nightman earlier this week. I was spending some time out here painting. We ended up talking about Dr. Seuss. There's some new books.
Well, it's you.
Well, you know, it's for me, it's like watching Disney animation. Of course. It's not a question. It's of course. Yeah, and I don't need the director's notes on a lot of it either for the DVD model. But he was saying that a gal who goes to the church that he is involved with was neighbors to Ted Geisel, Dr. Seuss. And that Cindy Who was this gal.
Oh, no kidding.
And they had a cat, and they used to put it in a hat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of that. She's got the first, I think Dan said she's got the first edition of Cat in the Hat signed by and the Grinch signed by. Wouldn't those be cool books to have?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is just...
Well, just to have the family history, that's cool.
Oh, yeah, and her grandpa, I think he said, was not a big fan of Christmas.
There you go.
So, lo and behold, yeah. Yeah, it just kind of fell into his lap. It's kind of the way... Yeah, oh, gee, many.
You need a behind the music on him or something.
Well...
Get the story out.
Behind the lap.
Yeah.
Oh... Talk about behind the curtain a little bit, not as in the Redwood Curtain, but more behind Oz and the curtain in Sacramento. This thing with the drought, and I don't mean to downplay it because I'm sure in some areas it's a little bit more serious than what we have here. But criminy. Are they continuing to go with the broad brush, one size fits all, Dave?
Not completely, which is really good news for us, but we're not quite there quite yet. So let me just refresh everybody here. There's been lots in the time standard. They've done a good job of keeping everybody up to speed on what's going on. But let me give you the cliff notes on it. So a year ago, we were in our third year of the drought. The State Water Resources Control Board laid on some restrictions on, you know, watering outside so that it didn't run down the sidewalk, and not washing your car unless you have a hose nozzle, you know, those kind of things. That law was only good for 270 days unless they renewed it. Well, now we've fast forward to March of this year. We moved into the fourth year of the drought, and so they re-upped that those restrictions that they had last year, and they added several to it. So before the ink was hardly dry on that, that was on March 17th. On April 1st.
Right, that's what we talked about last.
That's what we talked last time, right. Okay. So since last time, now on April 1st, the governor did an executive order saying we're going to have the first ever mandatory water restrictions in the state of California. So the State Water Resources Control Board has been working ever since April 1st, essentially all month here, to come up with some regulations that make sense to make that, because the real nut of the whole mandate is that we all use 25% less water on a statewide basis for residential areas, not commercial, industrial, those kind of things. Residential 25% cut across the state. So that means some areas maybe don't need so much of a reduction. Some of the areas need a whole bunch of reduction.
25% from last year?
From the average,
from a norm?
No, it's from the average of July through September last year.
So if we were doing our, it's kind of like recycling. You do a great job, and you get your teeth handed to you because now we're going to use that as our reference and cut even further rather than the standard across the state.
Well, the one thing that's interesting to that point is what we've been working on last year was the baseline of September of 2014. The rules last year didn't start till August. So September was sort of the baseline. This one's an average that actually goes back before that. So it actually, in a sense, is a higher number. In our case, it's higher than what we did last year. So we're already at about 12% reduction over that period. Now,
just status quo, we're halfway home.
Just because the people have stepped up to the plate and did a good job last year, and so we're doing good. So this, in our case, this tiered approach of trying to get to the statewide average, states crunched a bunch of numbers and had workshops and webinars and all this stuff, and they came up with
anybody show up?
Oh yeah.
Okay. They weren't being paid to be there.
No.
Oh,
I'm pretty
okay.
sure they were all paid to be there.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. Dave, you said the residential consumer was hit at 25%. Is it Humboldt Community Services District that has to reduce 25%?
That's probably the most thorough way to do it, but I don't have anywhere near the resources to do that. This tiered approach that the state put together, we're at 24% is the way the state's got it calculated right now. Again, going back to that July through September 2014 average, we're already at about 12, so I got to come up with an additional 12% really to satisfy that. Now, on the side note, and this goes back to your question from the last segment, from the March 17th, action the State Water Resources Control Board did, the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District and a bunch of us, as well as our state representatives and the Board of Supervisors, all asked the state board to put in some flexibility in there. You know, because we have, you know, 2+ years of storage on hand right now, we don't have, you know, technically a drought here. You know, rainfall wise, we're still in the, you know, the high 80s right now, percent wise. So although it's not 100% of where we are, we're still on there. So we asked for some flexibility in the iteration of the rules that came out just about 2 weeks ago. They actually had put in some flexibility. It doesn't, when you crunch the numbers, it really doesn't do us any good, but they were headed down the right path. So with those proposed regulations, we just sent out another letter that said, okay, why don't you, you know, tighten that up just a little bit so that it actually does, you know, cut that percent that we have to reduce up here a lot So we're only at maybe 4% because we have several years of storage on hand. And they the state had already, it was interesting, in the regulations they had, it was silent on it, but in their kind of their fact sheet of how where they told the story, they actually had the story about if some place has a bunch of storage on hand, they may be let off the hook a little bit.
So you wouldn't just say consult page 14?
kind of. So we've had several meetings, us, all the water agencies around Humboldt Bay here with Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District kind of leading the charge. To kind of get the story right, and we all sign on the letter, and so it's off again. We're not going to find out what the state actually implements on this last piece until May 5th or 6th when they actually have a meeting. In the meantime, all of us around here have done restrictions, and we've put all the stuff into place that the state mandated us
so
to
you
do
pull
the
next, trigger if
for
you
the
need
next
to.
270 days, yes.
You mentioned a tough nut, and I know for whatever reason the almond guys seem to be the ones that are in the bullseye. Well, what happens if these numbers aren't hit, Dave? Let's say you come at 27% or 21% instead of 24%. What does that mean?
Technically, it's a $10,000 a day fine from the state for not making the compliance.
For the
district, right.
Whoever
now,
the water provider
now,
is.
Right. Now remember the old rules and the rules we have now about not watering your sidewalk and those kind of things. Those are $500 an occurrence fines for the landowner or the resident
for
or whoever's watering.
That's for the meter guy.
Yeah, that's for the...
Not for you guys.
That's right, exactly. So, but if we don't meet this percentage, then technically it's a $10,000 fine for us. So,
is there precedence in this area?
Well, there's been some legal analysis that the state's kind of on thin ice a little bit doing what they're doing. But we're all going along with it. Nobody's sued them yet. So we'll see where it goes.
What kind of sense do you have, whether it's the Sonoma County or some of the others in the agriculture communities? Are they on board with this? Can they hit these numbers?
This is one thing that I think you got to give the state a little bit of credit for. They've actually, the commercial, industrial, and institutional water users are actually not a part of this 25% reduction. That's only on residential. And a lot of that was because of a recognition of just what you were kind of saying a little bit ago about the almond trees. Well, the same thing goes if you have some factory that has processed water.
Pulp mill.
If you had a pulp mill, if you don't have the water, then you're not making the product. They've had a nice recognition of this, and so they've tried to work with those, and I think that's why they've pushed so hard to make the residential piece of it where the reductions come. We still, and you mentioned this earlier too, I will do like I did last year. I will contact our, in Humboldt Community Services District, we only have about 11% of our water uses from those kind of users, the commercial, industrial, institutional folks. I will contact those and just make sure they're doing the best practices they can and things like that. But the real thing is going to be on the residential side in our scenario. Yeah.
And you guys still have got the enforcement requirement?
Yes. And we're still though holding out that we're going to be successful with the state. I mean, It was a really good sign that they included the flexibility in the draft regulations that came out a couple weeks ago. So we're hoping that they, with just a little bit more tweaking of those, that we'll be okay up here. That doesn't mean we got to go waste water, but that means that it's really more equitable for what's going on and a recognition that we actually do have water and our area actually does conserve anyway. If we took, and this is something that all the water districts were worried about initially and still kind of are to a certain extent, it's still kind of an unknown. If I take 24% less water sales, if I cut my water sales by 24% for Humboldt Community Services District, that's about a 10% decrease in operating revenue for the whole district.
Oh, this is like gas tax
and
paving roads.
So you
let's work on that one when we come back. It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon. KINS News and Information Time is 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. general manager from the Humboldt Community Services District. Dave, you, before the break, you were talking about some of the different aspects to this thing, that there is a punitive, there is a hammer, there is consumption levels, there are percentages and all that kind of stuff. It would be interesting, I think, for a lot of us, if you have the information, what are some of these other districts doing? You know, let's say L.A. County or somebody out in the desert who doesn't have hardly any usage. You were talking about the cash flow that you guys have based on a certain amount of gallons getting sucked up. Okay, fine. Now, if all of a sudden we cut it by 20%, you know, Dave's showing up in shorts instead of in longs because things are a little different. Is that in this equation? Does the state recognize that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's why they have this tiered system of compliance. So there's some of these places that need to go well above the 25% into the, you know, the 38% reduction to try and meet this because they it looks like they use a lot of water, and the state's worried about those kind of things. In just for comparison purposes, in our area here, we're probably between just average wise 70 to maybe 110 gallons a person a day. Some of these places, like you were mentioning, like the Beverly Hills or the Palm Springs or the something like this, you know, they're in the 200-400 gallon per person per day category.
So it's not that they're using it, it's that they just happen to be in the middle of the desert and they like green.
Well, yeah. They are using it.
But the individual may not be, but cumulatively the community is. Yeah.
So that's the areas that are getting targeted. We're already, you know, pretty darn good here for where we are. One of the things you mentioned, though, in some of the early iterations of this, the governor had actually said, well, and it was actually going to be a requirement that you implement some what they were calling conservation pricing, which meant the more water you use, the higher the price, you know, per unit would be. Well, that, I don't know if you followed that or not, but just a couple of weeks ago, that got struck down as not being in concert with the provisions of Proposition 218. You remember Proposition 218?
Oh, you just can't willy-nilly whip surcharges on?
That's what Proposition 218 was all about back in 1996, was, you know, if government agencies, if you're doing rates that, you know, affect property or tied to property and people, that they got to be based on the cost of service. And so just because you use more water, you're not costing, there isn't any more cost to the service. And so that got struck down. So a lot of people didn't like that. Of course, that rule went away now, so we don't have to do conservation pricing. Although the spirit of it, I think, is there, but the mechanics of it's just not. So
what does your board give you instructions on if you get 20% less revenue? Because we've got 24% less consumption.
Well, that's what...
That doesn't sound like a good, sustainable business model either.
Not right here in the in budget season. That'll be the May surprise.
It sounds like email that some department heads got in other jurisdictions locally here.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean.
That's okay. I'll tell you during the break. So what do you do? Hanker down? You not replace the pipe? You open trenches and you just don't pave over? I mean, how do you keep the thing rolling?
You know, for our district, the Humboldt Community Service District, we've been very proactive at staying ahead of deferred maintenance. You know, so we really almost don't have any deferred maintenance. We keep up with the maintenance and actually making improvements. What this will do, though, the places that we can cut then are on those capital improvement projects. So it would naturally back up to those. So where we actually are deferring maintenance on some things. And, you know, in a water system, you know, streets, things, you can kind of live with potholes and stuff. You can't live with a water pipe that's broken. You know, it just doesn't work. So
more of a triage approach?
Yeah, which is really bad management of a infrastructure. So we're hoping... Couple things that the state recognizes the flexibility and we don't have to do that. The fact that we're already doing a good job, we're already like in our case halfway there now anyway. And this is only for 270 days, and so we'll keep doing hoping for more rain.
Have you had to do cutbacks already?
No.
If we're halfway
not
to
based
24%.
On this. No. Well, cutbacks on the water use, not on budget kind of things. We've been able to absorb it and
without
and
getting
move it
into
around.
Contingencies?
Mm-hmm. Although, well, yeah, that's a different subject. But since we're in budget season, we are going to be looking at tapping into reserves to do some capital projects that are really almost kind of investments. They're capital improvements that actually lead to some more development that generates more income for the district down the road. So,
just upfront investment.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense.
I'm glad you said that.
Unless the state's going to be, unless the state's going to whip some more stuff on you. Do you have any sense? Is this it, or are they saying, you know, we could come back to this thing in 3 weeks or it, 4 weeks or 5 weeks?
Well, they could do that. They could at least come back in 270 days, or you know, by February, the end of February next year, and say we're going to add some more things. Or the whole thing could go away. It's really great to plan for that.
Yeah. Do you need to have like a compliance officer or something?
You know, a compliance officer would be great, not just for this, but
for all the different
for stuff. All the other 400 things we comply with.
Does this get close enough to almost needing someone
no,
like that?
Not if I'm looking
good.
At a 10% cut in revenue.
That's what it
So we absorb
to?
This stuff. Yeah. Okay. Well, it could. If it was a whole 24%. So because we're already partway there, we've been able to absorb that. Probably the worst case scenario right now is another 5% reduction, which is probably livable for right now. So
yeah. For right now.
For right now.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Dave Hull. Dave, the concept of having outside putting pressures on something that isn't necessarily going to be there year after year after year, so you can't really bake it into your structure, is that more challenging?
Well, like we were talking last segment, I don't know that it's going to change anytime soon. So that's a big unknown. And it is very difficult to plan for that. Now, of course, I think what the state's, you know, sort of an underlying thing, and I think which almost isn't bad if you look at it, sort of social engineering is sort of a behavioral change in us to use less water.
Well, they've
anyway.
Done such a dandy job so far at the state in doing that.
And so as we get to this, just like in the 77 drought, you know, we made the people, you know, made some changes really in their lifestyle and in things. Remember the low flow toilets and all this stuff? Well, that's just a part of life now. We don't even know about that when you do something. That's just the way it is. The thing that's hard to deal with is having a state rule come out on March 17th and then having more of them come out on April 1st. It's
to be adopted.
It doesn't
and
mean
implemented
it's, it
by
does, yeah by
May 1 or
yeah,
exa- June 1. Yeah,
exactly. So there's lots of running around, lots of coordination. We've got a great group of folks in our Humboldt Bay region here that run the water districts and the cities and stuff, and it's a good cooperative effort, but it's a fire drill for sure. One of the things that we've done, though,
maybe that's
fairly
what we need,
common,
huh, is less fires?
Yeah, yes, no more fires.
Yeah, you got
because we
that,
can't afford the water.
Put
yeah.
that into the system there. Let Ken and the guys know.
Because that does count on the residential system. So, you know, one of the things that pretty much all of us have done, and I think, we're going to meet on May 7th, the big water suppliers that buy water from Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District.
The Water Mafia.
We're going to meet on May 7th. And
an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There'll be wine and cigars. You know, yeah. Yeah. And we're going to figure out sort of the, try to coordinate an educational process so that, you know, people that live in McKinleyville aren't getting a different story than my customers, than Arcata is, or whatever. Try to make it as minimize the confusion as much as we can. One of the things that's common to all of us, I wanted to squeak in here, was this reduction in watering is probably going to be something that's important. So if you have sprinkler timers, You pay real close attention and see. You may have to only do a couple days a week.
So you have blotchy lawns.
No, you just have.
What would it be?
Doesn't. It doesn't.
The
do
weeds will
zones.
Be nicely green. The dandelions will love you.
Perhaps.
Yes. Now we've heard stories, and I don't know if they're anecdotal or not. Desert landscaping. Concrete is it. those types of things.
They're escaping, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of cool. But what about these guys that have got swimming pools? What are they supposed to do?
Well, that's not quite, we're not there yet.
Well, not in our end of the state, but so, the other end. You know.
Yeah, well, even down there, it's not a...
Will they be able to keep...
A regulated thing, yes, for now.
You're thinking hot tubs, huh?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. No, sorry, your delay there was just a little too...
That's a reservoir, you know.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Your backup water tank.
There you go.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Okay. So,
which is important up here in the North Coast with the earthquakes, huh?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And... You won't get your books wet then when you're reading them. Full circle. If you were here at the beginning, it now makes sense. Yeah. If somebody wants to try to keep track of this thing, are you guys putting this stuff on your website? Is there?
It's going to be. It's going to be on all of our websites, all the water, wherever you are around the Humble Bay
mafia.
Area.
Yeah. The water mafia.
It's going to be on the websites. Like I said, we're not going to know the rules until May 5th or 6th. We're not getting together till the 7th to kind of compare notes. So sometime, you know, mid-May or something, I would shoot. I'll probably be back in May and
we'll hear about it
fill
then.
You in a little bit then.
Oh, back to the pool, fill in.
Yeah.
I got it. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Jeez, next to last day in the afternoon.
Yay.
All right. We get Garrick over here. We'll move into the morning, starting on Monday. We've been talking shop with Dave Hall. Join us tomorrow afternoon. Final afternoon show, well, at least for this decade. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone up. See you tomorrow.